It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
And the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs, char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman. But we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome to the Grilling Guys each and every Saturday on the Michigan Talk Network. I'm Jop and he's Bob, and it is cooking in your backyard. We're going to be running down a bunch of cold weather tips and techniques for you this week, and Mother Nature's not really cooperating with us. We never know when we're going to put these shows together, whether we're going to have 20 degrees or today. I think we're going to bump up against 50, but you know what? This is good stuff to know because it's going to get cold. Winter is right around the corner. Today's December 1st. Deer season closed yesterday. We got to wait a few more weeks before our muzzleloader and our bow opens up again. But it's been a good season. We're going to break that down a little bit for you, too. But I'm Jop, and he's Bob. What's cooking, Bob?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is time to break out the cold weather gear, and it's 55 degrees. I'm getting the Speedos back up.
Yeah. Red one, I hope. It's this time of year. You know, the holidays are here. But, you know, we just got done with the deer season, had a lot of fun. Bob and I both went to camp. We talked a little bit about the successes that we had last week. But, you know, this time of year always brings to mind family. And when we're together during deer camp, that's some of the best times that I have all year. Great cooking, great drinking, but even more so, great family stories. And I know that, Bob, you had an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with some family this week, and I think you guys are going to like this story. So let's talk a little bit about that, Bob.
Well, I don't know if it's a story so much, but it's just kind of, you know, how life goes. My uncles, first of all, I'm thinking about the aunts and uncles. When you talk about family, it's primarily, I mean, I only knew one grandparent, my mom's mom. The rest were gone before I ever met them because I was the youngest of six. But there were 19 kids in my mom's and dad's family. My dad's mother had 13 kids.
Wow.
How's that happen in the UP turn of the century? Well, you know, no birth control.
Right, and need some farmhands.
It's cold every winter night, so, you know, if they do the math.
Funny how they were all born in July and August.
And I think the death rate, you know, I think, you know, like five or six of them never made it past like a year.
Because really?
Disease and everything, just, you know, those are tough times.
Yeah.
And my mother had, there were six boys and her. And then later on she had a half-sister. My mom's, a couple of my mom's brothers were always with us when we were up there in the summer camping and doing whatever we did, staying at the family farm. And two of them in particular really taught me a couple of very vital lessons. My uncle Irvin was like the frontiersman. He had what in the UP they call it camp, you know, let's go camp. And your camp is generally 40 to 80 acres out in, I mean, absolutely the tulies. And, you know, they would put two-man saws across the windows to keep the bear from breaking in when you weren't there and when you were there.
Right.
And he had a spring that sprung up right next to the cabin with a nice little pond. You couldn't swim in it because it was like 33 degree
water. Yeah, yeah.
But he had a refrigerator upside down inside of it, and that's where he kept his food. And then he would float grapefruit in the water to bait the bears, and the bears would grab a grapefruit, and then you'd find them like a half mile away. They'd fling them. They'd take a bite and just fling them half a grapefruit here or there. So Irvin taught me the hunting and wild side. And her brother Lester moved to the big city, you know, because there were no jobs up there. And he made it big in the printing business and raised a beautiful family. And he was more the suave guy, real smart aleck, real wise guy, which is where I get my wise guy stuff. But anyway, so Lester is now in Chicago. He's a veteran of the Korean War. They were all her brothers were all in the military.
Sure.
He's a Korean War vet. I could never get him to tell me good stories from it. You know, he'd shut right down when I'd try and get him to talk about it. So anyway, he's suffering right now from dementia and some different things. And great guy. And I had to go see him. He's now in a nursing home. And so this week I took my mom down there and visited him. And I tell you, to walk up on one of your legends in your life and see him reduced like that is... And, you know, the flood of memories of sitting around campfires up at Sunday Lake, Moosehead, and these places where we'd camp and sitting around the fires till midnight, 1 in the morning, cooking over the open flame. I mean, that was my childhood, and those were our vacations. And so it was just a kind of a tough week. But the first thing, you know, out of his mouth was a wise crack. You know,
sure.
He fired a shot at me as soon as I walked in the room. So he's still got that going. But, you know, those are the kind of people that teach you life lessons. And his name's Les Edmark. He's just a great guy. He's actually one of my karaoke partners.
And he can still sing, I bet.
Yeah,
carry a great tune. But it is. This is what this is all about. The cold weather brings on the holidays. It brings the family together. It gives us an opportunity to get together and just reminisce a little bit. And one of the things that Barbecue Bob and I love to do is when we get together is cook with the family. We're the grilling guys now, so the family, it's kind of that torch has been passed.
It's gotten bigger.
Yeah, and that torch has been passed a little bit. But I know that these guys were the guys that really got you started grilling.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that taught you the basic techniques.
And game preparation and how to hunt. I mean, my dad taught me a little bit of hunting, but Uncle Irvin, he was a savage.
Yeah.
His brother, Les's brother Irvin. You know, these people, they'd go out with the bear and the wolves and coyotes, and back then even Wolverine were up there.
Right. Cougars before cougars were cool and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. And but they were outdoorsmen and they lived off the land, and we just came off this hunting season, and it just brings back great memories.
Yeah.
When you can go back and you revisit that part of your childhood, and for you and I, Bob, that's 40, 50 years ago.
Yep.
That we were doing that stuff. Just a really cool time of year. It was just a great grilling guy's memory to be able to go back and kind of dust all that stuff off and see how it works.
And the one thing I've learned about life is, you know, when you have people that are dear to you, you know, there's only X amount of time you have with them. Never miss that opportunity to spend time with anybody like that.
Yep, exactly. And you know what? You need to document a couple of his recipes and his techniques, because now it's on you to pass that to the next generation, right?
It's on thegrillguys.com.
That's right. But anyway, so coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about history, and we're going to be talking about the beer industry in Michigan. You're going to learn some things that you cannot believe are true about the beer industry in Michigan, and we had an opportunity to spend some special time with a couple people this week. We're going to have them join us and talk a little bit more about it. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Stick with us. We're going to be right back.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.